A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them. O my people, I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you might be revered.
With the Lord there is mercy fullness of redemption.
I trust in the Lord. My soul trusts in his word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
For with the Lord is kindness, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all their iniquities.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord be in your heart and on your
praise
lips, that you may
you,
worthily
Lord
proclaim
Jesus
the
Christ,
gospel in the name of the Father,
King
of
endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church holds up for us this morning the seventh of the signs performed by Jesus in the fourth gospel. It is the fulfillment and completion of all the other signs. It is the raising of Lazarus. But the church does more than that this morning. The church invites us to take the place of Lazarus in the tomb. In other words, Jesus is speaking to each of us this morning. And not only for those who perhaps have been in the tomb for longer than 4 days, but the tomb that has perhaps imprisoned and many have given up as dead, our own faith, our own journey with the Lord, perhaps in this season of Lent. And we find ourselves pretty much like Lazarus. There is a stone across the entrance. There are wrappings binding us. And we are given up for dead. And the word comes to Jesus that this has happened to Lazarus. And Jesus waits 4 days, 4 days. But his delay is not his denial. For he says that it will not end in death, but it is meant for the glory of God. And when he arrives, he notices the great sadness and the great difficulty that Martha and Mary and the people are experiencing. And there's only 2 times in sacred scripture in which Jesus cries. Jesus cries over the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you under my wing as a hen her brood, but you would not have it. And he cries at the death of Lazarus. And he stands out the tomb and he enters into that. And the reason Jesus is crying is because those who are in tombs are encased and sealed in to the stench and the difficulty and the death that comes with sin, that comes from a faith that has shriveled, has grown routine, threadbare, just part of the furniture, or a faith that we greet with a kind of yawn, a kind of indifference to it. It's just part of the thing that we do. And yet Jesus weeps over that. He enters into that. And he finds out where Lazarus is, and he goes to the tomb, and and when he gets there, there is this stone, huge stone, in front of the tomb, sealing Lazarus in the tomb. Well, how many people, perhaps even ourselves, are sealed in the tomb, sealed in from a past that they can't get over, a guilt that can't be relieved, some disappointment, some great tragedy, some great wrong. And there is a stone rolled across their faith and their life that will not allow anything to emerge outward or inward. It's a kind of solitary confinement that has taken hold of them. We may very well find ourselves in those situations as we sit here this morning. Perhaps it is a sin or a guilt, a rupture in a relationship that that we have spoken to no one. We carry it within ourselves. It's that undigestible part that's stuck in the esophagus and doesn't quite make its way down and not quite make its way up. But we carry it. That stone that's there. And Jesus goes to the tomb and he says, "Roll back the stone." Only Jesus can say that. Only Jesus can say that and mean it. Only Jesus can say that, and the stone can be rolled back. But only the person inside of the tomb can come out. Jesus doesn't go into the tomb and force them out. Because you see, for some, the tomb is very comfortable. It's like, think of Plato's allegory of the cave, where they're sitting there and they're looking at the wall, which serves as a kind of screen. There's somebody in back of them with a light shining on the wall, and they start parading objects in front of the light that's projected onto the screen, and they believe that those images are the reality, because that's all they see. Because they're prevented from looking this way or that way or getting up. They're chained. They're chained to the seats. And all they see is the world of shadows. And they misinterpret the shadows for the substance. But one of them manages to break free and turns around and sees that what's on the wall is simply a projection, an image. And that person who has been liberated to see that slowly makes his way through. It's kind of like a birth canal. Makes his way through the cave and comes into the light. And what is the first thing that happens? They cover their eyes. You've been in a dark room. You've maybe been in a movie theater. You've been in those places, and when you go out into the sun, first thing you want to do is grab sunglasses or put them on before you even get out there, etc., because the light is too bright. Some people even go back into the darkness of the theater or into the room. And so, when Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out," Jesus is saying to us that only we can do. The stone has been rolled back. Pardon me. I want you to come out. I want you to come out. It takes a great deal of courage to walk from the darkness into the light. But only Jesus can call us. Only Jesus can roll back the stone. Only Jesus has the power and authority to do that, and only we can answer by whether we stay in or we come out. And Lazarus comes out. But Jesus does more than that, because when Lazarus comes out, he's still wrapped in all of those things that keep him like this. He's like this. He has no mobility. He has no real freedom, dexterity of movement. He's still wrapped in whatever has placed him in the tomb in the first place. And Jesus says, "Cut him free, set him free, so that he can walk, so that he can walk in the light, so that he can walk in the truth." So that stone has been removed. Those wrappings have been taken off, and now you can walk in the freedom whereby Christ has called you to be free. This morning, the seventh sign is for us. Do we find ourselves this morning
if we really reflect on our lives, do we find ourselves in a tomb? Has our faith become simply a familiar dress or a pair of shoes, something we put on and take off? Are we really indifferent to it? Take it or leave it, whatever. It's part of my duty, I gotta go, etc. Or have the words of Jesus really penetrated our hearts to where we have encountered the crucified and risen Christ? Have we reached that point in our relationship with Christ that we dare to come out of that tomb? Do we rejoice at the stone that has been rolled away, the bandages that have been cut free, whereby we can truly live free as sons and daughters of our Lord and Savior? That is the great power, the great gift, and the great glory of this holy season. We need not live in the tomb with a large stone blocking our exit and going forward. Not because of ourselves, not because of any merit or goodness that comes from us. It's because of the powerful, life-giving word of the one who is the resurrection and the life. And you see, conclude with this. This idea that Christianity is pie in the sky when you die, that's not true. Read the words of Jesus carefully. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he die, shall live. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. It doesn't say you will. It says you have it now. Every time you receive the body and blood of Christ, a further bandage is cut off, a further ban that restricts you is taken away. The stone is a little smaller and rolled a little further away from the entrance. Every time we lift ourselves in prayer, that past grows a little less, blocking our future and our present life. That's what Jesus offers us now, to live our faith now, to live that liberating message, because Jesus says to those who are in the tomb this morning, roll back the stone. Jesus calls each of us by name this morning, by name. Not some blanket call, not some robocall. A blanket call, no. Jesus speaks to us individually this morning and calls us by name and says, I have rolled back the stone. I have rolled back the stone. But only you can come out of the tomb. I cannot come in. I cannot come in. I will not come in and force you out. And if you come out, all of those bandages, all of those hurts, all of that stench that keeps you in the tomb, in the shadows, all of that will be taken away so that you can truly live the resurrection now and in its fullness in the world to come. May we have the courage and the grace this morning, like Lazarus, to come out of the tomb, to be cut free from whatever is binding us,
whatever has encased us and wrapped us and prevented us from walking in the fullness of that life whereby Christ has set us free and offers us that life in the here and now. May we step out of the tomb and live as Christ calls us each day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.